This is the regular meeting of the Board of Education, February 13, 2007.
Welcome, everybody, to the February 13th, 2007 meeting of the Board of Education of West Covina Unified School District. We'll call the meeting to order this evening at 7:02, and we'll start this evening with an invocation led by Mr. Spence, and Mr. Fuller will lead us in the pledge.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're grateful as we gather here at the West Covina Unified School District Board of Trustee meeting for the opportunity we have to serve. We're grateful for the staff and the parents of the children of this district, and we're grateful for the time and sacrifices that they make. And Father, we do ask a blessing on this meeting, that it will be a productive one, and this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Cox?
Here.
Mr. Spence?
Here.
Ms. Shoemaker?
Here.
Mr. Fuller?
Here.
Mrs. Fuller?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Mrs. Lisa Fuller?
Here.
You want to do the introductions first? Yeah. Actually, before we get actually started on the next item, which is the presentation recognition of the counselors, there are two very special people here. Well, there's a lot of very special people here who I'd like to introduce, but two of them stand above the rest of you. First of all, well, here, I'll let you do that.
Yes, we have two principals who, one that started today, one who's been with us for a little while, but we haven't been able to introduce him. So our principal at Cameron Elementary School is Will Mannion. Will, will you stand up and be recognized? And the first day of our principal at West Cove Elementary School, Maribel Lopez-Tayez.
Glad to have you with us, and look forward to working with you. This evening, we have an opportunity to recognize our counselors for the work that they do, benefit to the students, and for National School Counselors Week. So do you want to do...
I'd like to call Mr. Seaman up and ask you to come forward, Mr. Cox, to present these certificates.
Actually, before we even come down, Steve, but I just want to say a couple words with a thank you. I know the counselors expressed that to me and the school sites, and especially the students, a thank you to the board for adding the counselors that we did this year. And it's decreased the caseload and increased our contact with the students. And one thing that the school sites wanted me to share is that they've held some meetings with their at-risk students and involved the parents in that. The middle schools, about 80% of those meetings are held with parents, which is a very high number compared to other districts that I've talked to. And just, again, thank you to the board for adding those counselors at the school sites and the services to the kids. Want me to read this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to read them up. As you come, if you could come up and get your certificate from Mr. Cox, please. Starting at Edgewood, Sarah Arcee. Sarah is one of the new counselors you added this year. And Carrie Harris. Sarah. Please. Carolyn Tran. I think that's Carolyn Tran Ryan. Sorry. Jennifer Zampiello. Those are the four counselors for Edgewood. Just stay up here, though, please. At Hollencrest, Mark Pedicini. Looks like they have a gift for somebody. Oh, no, that was for Mark. That's nice. Stay up there, Mark. And Kathy Turney. Kathy's a huge connection for us, which is the state, and CASC, which is the Counseling Association for the state. And from San Jose Edison, Patricia Silva. From Coronado Alternative School, Sonia Ohanian. From West Covina High School, we had actually added two counselors there, Maria Tron. Coming out of order on you, sorry. At the bottom. It's probably the last ones, too.
Holy cow, how many of them we got?
Well, we have 3,000 students, so.
Oh, all right, not enough, right?
And Kristen Friesen. New counselor, but not new to the district, since she graduated from the district. Neil McConnell. Sharon Hensley. And Linda Gordon. And, there's one more who's not present. That's Tom Birmingham. He actually teaches at Citrus College, and he has two classes tonight, so he's not here. Counseling staff for our schools. Thank you. You might have to come down in front.
Two lines.
Oh, I'll stand up on the top here.
That's perfect, John. Absolutely.
Of course.
All right, I'm not sure why we say it, but let's say cheese. Let's take one more just in case I mess that one up. Ready? Cheese.
Right. Thank you very much. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for everything that you do for our kids.
Can I just thank the counselors and also principals. And Maribel, I know that you have your family here and your young kids, so please feel free to walk out on this very exciting meeting at any time. Thank you all very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have to take it literally.
to you?
Mm-hmm. No, you did that last time.
Hmm? Oh, that's true. Maybe the whole new habit.
Okay, I'll read out a closed session. We had two items that we considered in closed session this evening. The following action was taken this evening in closed session, with subsequent action being taken as required by law. It was moved by Cami Polis and seconded by George Fuller to that the following students have completed their terms and conditions of expulsion that have been approved by the Board of Education for readmission to a school in the West Covina Unified School District to continue their education. An intake hearing has been held where the students presented that the response to the rehabilitation plan the Board of Education had directed them to complete has been accomplished in a satisfactory manner. Student number 180456, student number 185159, and student number 174074, and the vote was 5-0. Furthermore, it was moved by Cami Polis and seconded by George Fuller approve to expel the following students from the school district. Student number 135455 was in possession of a lighter and fluid, admitting to lighting fires, and the vote was 5-0. Okay, and I have one other thing to. I have one other thing to report out, and you may want to help me on this, and that is the this last week we had completed our categorical program monitoring program, and I had an opportunity to sit in on a little bit of the ending of the beginning meeting and the beginning of the ending meeting, whatever. In the ending meeting, we had it was very, very successful, and I just want to compliment all of the staff. I'm sorry that Ellie and Helen aren't here, but they did an extraordinary job along with the rest of the staff and Mary Danielson and Jim Mandela and Archie at Coronado regarding all of their
Archie?
Wally.
Oh, whatever. You know, they all look alike.
Get in the right ear.
But anyway, it was great. It was great. We had very little recommendations from them. I understand that from time to time they'd give, you know, long laundry lists of issues that they have problems with, and we had a very successful evaluation of our programs. our staff deserves recognition for that. So, any other Board of Education reports? Board member reports? Daniel.
Yeah, I have something.
There you go.
So, first off, our KC test came up for the high school exit exam, and we had a really high number of students turn out for juniors and seniors that needed to retake it from the past. Our sophomores are coming up soon, and we're not going to be having it in classrooms. In the gym, like the California exit exam is normally being taken. We're having it in classrooms, and that's doing a lot of moving around work for administration, but it's happening, so it should be a better test scores because better work testing environment inside smaller classrooms. So that's good for the sophomores and about 800 sophomores and 100 seniors that are going to be taking that test coming up. That's going to be a two-day event of moving classrooms. I guess the whole school's moving around. And all our sports are doing wonderful. We have third place in CIF, in our league for wrestling. And this Thursday and Friday they're placing soccer for boys and girls. Both came in third in the league, and they play CIF. Boys play tomorrow against Bonita, and girls play on Friday. Our basketball, boys came through at large. I'm not sure what at large means, but they've had a good season as well. Dance drill took 8 first places at Arlington. They got every single category that they went in for 8. They got first place in every single one, so that was pretty nice. But thank you for all board member support coming to our sports games. We appreciate it. District Choral Festival. It's going to be Friday, the 23rd of February, the Silent Auction Showcase, and that's in our cafeteria. It raises funds for the spring break cruise that our choral union goes on. Coming up, we've been having a huge planning committee for our 50th anniversary celebration for West Covina High School. Our next meeting's October. Our next Our next meeting is March 9th at 3:15. If anybody would like to come and help out with the planning committee of the 50th anniversary celebration, which tentatively dates is the 12th and 13th of October of next fall. So mark that in your calendars now, because it's a pretty important date for 50th anniversary for West Covina High School. Our academic decathlon team did wonderfully in Super Quiz. They came in 10th out of 43 teams that were there. So our decathlon team did wonderfully well. Viviana, she took a silver medal second place in essay. So we just have a lot of good news to report about our sports, our fine arts, and our academic decathlon team. As far as events, Mr. Bulldog, our male pageant for the guys, is this Friday. It's coming up at 6 o'clock if you guys want to go. It's a great little entertaining show. West Side Story, our spring production, they just finished auditions. That took in a lot of people, so it should be exciting. It's our spring production. I'll be in it, so it should be great. And I'd like to just thank the board on behalf of the students at West Covina High School for considering renovating our stadium. It's just that the talks of those have happened. We appreciate it, and we hope that things go well with that. Thank you.
Thank you.
at this time, we generally open for items from the floor and public comment. I have no formal request to speak, but if there's anybody who would like to speak to the board at this time, I'll open the floor. Hearing none, we'll move on to the business session and the approval of the agenda and consent items. Is there anybody that would like to remove an item from consent?
Number 13.
Anybody to add an item to consent?
14.
I'd like to hear about that.
You didn't hear enough when you were setting up the meeting?
Anybody else? Is there a motion on this item, please?
I'll move.
Yeah. I'll second it.
Moved by George Fuller and seconded by Cami Coles to approve the agenda and consent items for the regular and organization meeting to remove item 13 from consent. Next item on the agenda is an information report, a follow-up presentation by San Jose Edison Academy. At our last meeting, we sort of... Oh, I'm sorry. Any objections to that last item? And then hearing none, the motion is so ordered. Thank you. Yes.
All set?
At our last meeting, we had a discussion about this issue and some of the concerns with respect to the development of some of the changes at San Jose Edison. And anyway, all right, we'll go ahead and I arranged to have Denise come back and share with some of the details more precision on what it is that they're offering.
I know specifically we were going to come back on the 27th, and so tonight's presentation was just twofold. The purpose was to address some of the three basic concerns that were expressed by board members during the last presentation regarding the possible changes with the design, and then just to give a brief overview of what to expect during February 27th's presentation. One of the concerns that was expressed was that this new design is going to replace a proven design, and basically it was, if it ain't broken, why fix it, a sort of mentality, because we've had a lot of success. And so there was concern on the part of the board, why mess with the good thing? And so I've sort of laid out and tried to address that thinking. As a school dedicated to continuous improvement, our design has been just that, continuously improving. while the basic elements like our houses, our academies, lead teachers, curriculum coordinators, professional development, a rich and challenged curriculum, and better use of time have remained intact, the design has taken on needed changes that have been necessary to better address the kids that we serve. And just a few examples that I listed, differentiation, our benchmark system, our tutoring programs are much different. The teacher leader opportunity. At the time we brought Edison on, you didn't have grade level coordinators. Basically, leadership possibilities for teachers stopped at the curriculum coordinator level. And then when we started meeting more regularly after school with our grade levels, we then brought on grade level chairs. And then our bedding strategy. And this is obviously not just exclusive list. It could go on and on. The same curriculum will be used. Currently, we use SFA, Chicago Everyday Math will continue being used. FOSS Science is all California State related. It was not the original science program that we had. We felt that we needed to upgrade our science program as we've gone through, especially when science became a tested area. The History Alive is a new adoption that we had 2 years ago, and we piloted it for Edison 3 years ago and have found unbelievable success with our eighth graders and all of our children as they move up. And then Step Up to Writing is a writing program that was not originally there. We used the Write Source, but the Step Up to Writing has been used for approximately 5 years, and we've been having some excellent results. Another concern expressed by the board was that San Jose Edison Academy will be used as a testing site for unproven strategies and programs. And I had stated, like the original Edison design, thousands of hours and millions of dollars are being invested currently identifying programs and strategies that have been proven effective in the United States as well as worldwide. They're taking on that same type of vested interest. One of the elements, independent learning, is not replacing our current instructional program. It is an additional layer that will actually enhance the instructional program and provide additional time for learning. So our structure of our day will remain intact and how with the curriculum, how we instruct, but there was a need to expand that and supplement what we were doing to meet the needs of all the kids. And independent learning happens to be one of those elements. And the terrific thing about independent learning is that it's going to occur on a daily basis. And during that time, our monthly benchmarks, it will be an independent learning lab with pods, different things. Students can do research. They'll be able to work in cooperative groups. It's going to be manned by teachers. All the lessons that are happening during that day are planned by teachers. And students, instead, currently we have to take them out of class to the computer lab to take their monthly benchmarks electronically. They will now be taking electronic benchmarks during that independent learning time, as well as our quarterly scholastic reading inventory assessments. So it will actually be freeing up instructional time that will be taking place in the classroom. Project-based learning will become more efficiently implemented. Less instructional time in the classroom will be taken, as well as keeping projects in school. One of the toughest things about project-based learning is it does take a lot of time. And typically, if you are going to have kids work in cooperative groups and they're going to be working on a project to show their competency, it does take instructional time. Or you send a project home. And for those of you who have children who have come home and said, my science fair project is due, my this is due, this project is due, it's a pretty big burden on parents. And what we like the idea of the Independent Learning Lab is now groups of students will be able to work cooperatively within that Independent Learning Lab, not every single day, but if it's a science project, if it's a social science project, the research is all right there at their fingertips. They'll be able to work as groups, and then they'll be able to use the technology to actually develop that project. And so we think it's not going to be replacing our instruction in science and social science and math. It actually is going to enhance it. And one other thing I actually didn't put here about the Independent Learning Lab, it will also, Mr. Fuller, you had remarked the benchmark system changing in 2008. The benchmark assessment will remain the same. The new component they're bringing in will be the diagnostic and the prescriptive. That will allow students who are scoring from the very bottom to the very top, that it will actually generate specific engaging lessons for those individual students, all sort of on its own by looking at the benchmark results. And then students will have the opportunity during school, during that time, to get those additional skills. And by the way, that will be on top of the Saturday tutoring and different things that we continue to do. There was another concern that our current program may not be working if the Edison design is changing. And we currently do have 25 to 30% of our students that are not proficient. But in most cases, changes are in addition to the current design, and the intention is to strengthen what we have, not to replace it. We have always operated under the vision of continuous improvement, and our motto, a world-class education for all students, is definitely not lip service. And while we still may have 25 to 30% of our students below grade level, however, the school has made tremendous gains. And the school has also had very favorable results in closing that achievement gap. And if you'd like to turn to the first, just to reemphasize the school's commitment to excellence and doing what we need to do to meet the needs of these kids. And we started off in 1999 with a 638, but if you remember, that was actually a year after the first Edison. We received all the students from all over. We really didn't have a base until they've had a full year of Edison instruction. So we're hypothesizing our original API was probably about a 590s. And then we had the year of Edison, and then it's gone up to the 881. And I am very proud to say that when we opened our doors, 71% of our kids were reading below grade level. We have literally turned that entire statistic around, where almost 71% of our kids are now at grade level in English language arts. And in California, that's very, very difficult with how hard the test is. And then this was a new statistic or a new data sheet I have not had a chance to share with you. It's the percentage of growth that we have had of our proficient and advanced students from 2002 to 2006. And just to show a comparison, I do realize that our numbers and our scores are within the district. I was not going to take that out. But even so, you can see in English language arts and in math, when we looked at how all the students are doing, how our social economic disadvantage our students are doing, and EL, this is a very good indication of a school that has its eye on the ball and has been part of continuous improvement when you can actually close that achievement gap. Because for both students, all students, and SEDs to be moving along, that's terrific as long as we're moving up. However, at what point is that gap closing? You actually need those subgroups to be even making more gains. And so you can see over the course of those 4 or 5 years, we have had a total of 28.4% improvement in the number of children we have made proficient or advanced. Our SEDs are 29.7. So while the social economic disadvantage outperformed all of our students, it was a smaller amount, but it still shows that they're really making the gains. And then when you look at math, all of our students were at a 30.7, and our SEDs were 35.5. And then the ELs are all as well making some tremendous gains. So we're very proud of the fact that we are indeed closing that gap. As far as the overview for the 27th, the presentation, within the next few weeks, the E2 work streams, there are several work streams that are working with E2. We have learning environment, school culture, teacher effectiveness, leadership, technology, all of these streams. And in fact, it's exciting to see a lot of them have come out and are visiting your school to be sending back some tips with their committee to see how things are going well and want to be sure that those design elements continue and are strengthened like what they're actually observing at San Jose Edison. Except for curriculum, because curriculum remains the same for next year. There's no change in curriculum. Specific design elements will be presented to the board as well as their possible impact on the school. Schedules are currently being drafted for K-8 and what that would look like with the learning environment, independent learning. Facility needs are being investigated. On the 28th, Edison would like to send out a technology group to come and see if there what would need to be done, and then, of course, that information would be presented to the board at a further meeting. And then any additional questions and concerns will be addressed as they arise. And I'll be more than happy to take those questions then as well as questions now, if you'd like.
When you come back in 2 weeks or at our next meeting, I really want to know the difference in between the E1 and E2. Right now you said it was the independent study is the only thing that looks like is a concrete change. But in the first PowerPoint, it said that the E1 effectiveness validated by the merit, the E1 is validated by the Institute of Research and RAND. And then it says E2 is research and development project to create Edison's next generation managed school model, as well as other services. So it sounds like it's a whole new model. And I know you're building on what you have, but I want to know exactly what new components are going to be added, and if you're going to drop any existing components, what they are.
Sure. So exactly what new components will be added, and then if we're going to be eliminating any other ones, what would those be?
Right.
Okay, sure. That gives me a good framework to build the presentation.
Just in discussion, my viewpoint is this is all nice and it's well. I'm still hearing language that's vague. I'm still hearing the words investigation, research investigation. I'm still hearing one plan out of New York. I'm hearing one plan that may develop out of here. I still think this is a negotiable item. I still believe firmly that we need to get a legal opinion and issue a letter to Edison in New York that this is a negotiable item, that all things may go through, but it's a negotiable item. We're coming here week after week like we were in negotiations, and we could come here next week and say we don't like this. That's what we have a superintendent for, and we hire a very competent person to review this, to negotiate, to handle this. I'm hearing sums of what I can see, and one person, to be perfectly honest, will receive a $45,000 a year raise from what you said last week. That's a humongous amount of money. If you're talking 30% raises of $150,000 plus bonuses, that's a lot of money. That creates a situation that creates a difference in the contract. You're talking 30% raises. I heard that, well, it's nice. It was only to protect Edison employees. I heard that the spirit of that was not to create a wage war within the district between Edison and the district, and there's a clause in there that the salaries will remain comparable. I think that's a negotiable item. Also, if you're talking that sums of money, we have a reduction in the amount of days that were delivered from Edison, in part in costs. If you recoup those costs by whatever methods, by this method, we should be negotiating to regain those extra days that everybody has bragged about. That Edison delivered, that the days have been reduced. Can we bring those back? Those are just some items that are coming up in my head. Do we have enough money for SDC? Do we have enough money? We went a long way to protect special education, and we made sure that was written in there. The way this is being laid, it's Edison is entitled to do whatever they want there. Does that mean that at any point that if we'd say there's no negotiations, they can remove special education entirely or reduce the number or the method that special education is, it takes place? That's a consideration. All of these are negotiable items that should be taking place not at the board table but at the negotiation table to confirm that. And I still would like a legal opinion that these changes are negotiable. Another one that comes up, the only way I've seen schools really reduce the amount of money is to reduce the amount of teachers. And I've looked at what came out of Edison in New York, and it looks like the total number of teachers available for students will be reduced, and that will allow for more monies to be available for increases of wages of 30%. I think this is something the district needs to address at the negotiation table. I don't know why Edison is taking this view that they not negotiate, that they can just go ahead and do what they want and just keep us informed, but that's where I'm coming from, and I still think that we need to get that written opinion and just send it to New York and let everybody sit down and negotiate the table. It'd be nice, too, if New York came out here, because I do. I'm hearing one thing from Dr. Patton. I'm seeing another thing from New York, and I know they were out here once before. It would be nice if they came the 27th and relayed what they see as E2 and what they anticipate to take place.
Mr. Fuller, when you say you're receiving from, because I was on the phone with John Chubb today, as I am typically several times during the week, and he is our lead person on E2, you know, Dr. Chubb. And so I'm not quite understanding. The message I'm giving you are from the exact notes that I received from John, who is spearheading the entire initiative. So when you say what you're hearing from me and what you're hearing from New York are possibly two conflicting points of information, I'm not understanding that. And I want to try to address your concerns, but I don't know what's coming out.
And I'm not understanding that either, because I've looked at documents since September, October on this, and each time the documents come in front of me, there's a change. And what you're just saying is New York has a change. And I'd like New York to come out and say, all right, here's E2 as Edison envisions it. Here's E2 as it's being implemented. And this is not a research project, or is a research project. I appreciate that Edison is investing millions of dollars. I appreciate the amount of work that they're doing. But when they first came out, in October, I believe it was, they said, we have a research project going with four schools. Would you like to be a part of it, or wouldn't you? And it was kind of left up in the air at that. We didn't really jump at it. Three schools did, and now we have a fourth. And kind of the impression that if we didn't, we have a good relationship, we have everything going, we'll be glad to take our other fourth school out from a district that would like to go with this on the basis of experimental and research, to go ahead and be the school. And I'm perfectly happy with that. If this isn't it, we can't negotiate it. I'll be glad to listen what Edison comes up with their fourth school. And that's what was presented. But if that's changed, if that offer has changed, or the concept they presented in that PowerPoint, I think they should be here. I mean, I don't know the person's name. I'm not that familiar, but have him come out and make his presentation.
Sure, and I'll be more than happy to talk to John Chubb about that. That's no problem. I'm sure he's going to Dayton. I'm sure he'd be more than happy to come out and look and see exactly what you are asking for. And I'm sure I'll be able to address some of these things that you have said regarding the reduction of teachers, which is not our case. Not sure about special ed, why that's an issue, but a lot of these other things can easily be addressed when you do see some of the information. And tonight wasn't specifically to lay out those details as is on the 27th. It was to just address some of the concerns as if we were trying to literally overhaul an entire system, which we're not. And we'll be able to show more of that the next time we come out. And just one last thing on the comment with the percentage. A lot of that is thrown around in looking at whether it's raises or bonuses. But I do know for a fact that I was in on the beginning of the negotiations as well as the renewal and helped write the language. And so I do know for a fact that that language with CTA's support was making sure that charter schools didn't try to undermine charter school teachers and not giving them fair and equitable salaries. And so that was put in as a compromise with the California unions when we were negotiating all the Edison schools in California. So I do know what the spirit of that was. So I just wanted to point my history on that one.
Okay, but the statement is the salaries will be comparable in the contract.
Right.
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 Okay.
I concur with Mrs. Polis and Mr. Fuller. It seems that the further we get into this process, the less information we're receiving, the more it changes. We can't really go forward with a legal opinion because we say, okay, this is what they said to begin with, this is what they said the second time, this is what they said the third time, this is what we said the fourth time. So I really, at the February 27th meeting, want to see what are the changes. For the final time, what are the final changes? what you're proposing, because this is very vague. It sort of picks and chooses what was said at the last meeting, and quite frankly is twisted in a way that is unfair to what was asked of you at the last meeting. I would also like to see a letter sent to Edison making sure that they are aware that there is an issue here, that we do believe that these are contract changes. We want to see what the plan is, and if necessary, we will be going forward per the contract with whatever legal remedy we need to.
By the way, they are aware. Like I said, I speak with John Cho quite frequently. And
then
this,
I think if he's as aware, maybe he, as Mr. Fuller said, why isn't he here?
Because tonight was not to be a night where I brought in. When you say you're looking at this and it's vague,
Edison
tonight was not a detailed.
Since September and October that there may be some issue with this change, that we believe that there may be some contract changes. What exactly are you doing? I mean, your opening statement at the last meeting was, I'm here to inform you what we're doing. It wasn't, this is what we're thinking about doing. What do you think? It was, we are making the changes. So we are on a time deadline based on that statement to find out what exactly you're doing at the school site. And by you, I don't mean you personally, I mean Edison. And move forward.
One more quick thing. The overview on number two, it says that you are going to go over the design elements except for curriculum.
Because curriculum, we aren't changing the curriculum.
Okay.
We'll have SFA, we have everyday math. Our day, for the most part, resembles the day that we have now. It's there's nothing earth-shattering about, you know, I've been here only twice now before you. And when we came out in October, it was just as a briefing saying, this is something we're going to be developing. And they were going to some of their best partnerships to launch the concept. But we weren't selected because they thought West Covina so much wanted us. It wasn't an issue about who wants us or who doesn't. It was just to say, here's where Edison is going with its new type of, not even a new type of school, with its initiative on trying to better address the needs of students. And so that's what you were presented, but that was way back. And then there was a whole series of things that we went through for Edison to identify its top three schools that they were even thinking of implementing some of the design changes. It was a very rigorous process, and it was one in which we were very proud of the fact that a company like this that is spending these types of man hours and is literally on the verge of educational reform in this nation and worldwide is so interested in coming to West Covina and being able to show what things can be done for children. This was a huge celebration on the behalf of the school, my staff, all of us, to have Edison consider us. And you know, and I totally understand, you know, where some of you are coming from and your concerns, and you have every right as a board member. But I can tell you, I stand up here before you extremely transparent. I have nothing to gain or lose from this change. But our children have everything to gain or lose. And that because we have a chance to really make a difference with the students we serve, as well as serve as a fishbowl for things that the district could be looking at, things that we're implementing, new revolutionary types of things that have been proven out there. And you will see. I'll call John Chubb tomorrow, and I'll let him know again your specific concerns and how you would like those addressed.
Just when you say you have nothing to gain, let me understand that last week you said that the anticipated wage gain of the staff would be approximately 25%.
I don't think I stated that, Mr. Fuller. It was in the original document. And the reason why I didn't state that is because that has not been figured out if that's even possible under the California economy. So that's why you really haven't heard much from me regarding the amount of time and the amount of increase. We've always tried to stay ahead of the district in the amount of wages because of the amount of hours that the teachers work and the amount and what is expected and the accountability. That's always been a given. But I have not brought any percentage. I was just asked what I made and what percentage that might be above current principals. And I explained because my job is so much different and what I am doing. That's the only time we really got into money because I was not prepared to give you a percentage.
Well, I heard the number 25%, but I think the person from Edison will clarify that. If you're saying it's their figure, then we need to hear from Edison that what is their anticipation in terms of wage gain.
And they may not even be able to give you that amount on the 27th because there are different factors. You pointed out that the reduction of force because of the independent learning might work on the East Coast. It won't work in California, nor will it work at San Jose Edison because we already have it stable. We are not going to be reducing staff in order to have a wage gain or a rise in wages. Additionally, there's another way you can actually increase teacher salaries without reducing staff, and that's by increasing class sizes. We currently already have 20-to-1, which is mandated, and we will stay with that. And our school is already making these types of gains at 34-to-1, which we've had for 4 years. There is no plan whatsoever to increase class sizes. Now, if Edison wants to work internally with the school to see how there might be another option within the money we get to do it, that will be something that will have to be discussed down the road. But we certainly will not be coming to you on the 27th to say we're reducing teachers and we're raising class sizes because we won't be.
And I agree with you. It's something to be discussed late down the road, and that's where I'm getting confused is what Edison's point is. Why not discuss it at the negotiation table?
Well, usually teacher salaries have never been – the charter school salaries have never been a negotiable item. The spirit of the charter school is not for a management company to be managed. Usually the spirit is to bring them in, and I think we've always – that has always been the way that we have operated.
Well, whether there's any change or not, I'm not saying that any of these changes wouldn't take place. I'm saying that in the contract, as you stated, there's provision that the wages will remain comparable. If there's a discussion on the need for change of wages, it seems it should take place at the negotiation table. That's what I'm saying. It's a negotiable item. It's a major change.
And typically those negotiations take place between the school and Edison, New York. We always have negotiations every year when I increase salaries. It's usually negotiations that happen between the school and headquarters.
Well,
typically.
If you're talking to your school, I can see if they remain comparable, you're there. If they're not comparable, you're changing the contract. If a teacher from Vine comes over and says, you know, the teachers over at Edison are earning $5,000 more a year than I am, I have a problem as a board member now. I have a situation that has been created with a charter school in my area which in my negotiations with the teachers would talk, I now have another situation. So, and I don't want to belabor it. It just seems like if you're going to change that part of the contract, we need to know about it and negotiate.
Can I ask you something, Norcia, just a clarification? She mentioned that if they work more hours or more days, they get compensated accordingly.
Right.
Are you looking at an hourly wage that they want to be paid accordingly? Or are you saying, no, that they should take a cut in salary to pay so that they could be paid at what?
No, I'm not saying anything other than if there's a 25% increase, and that's what I heard, then it seems like we have a substantial change to income and in a disparity in the comparable wages. We have a change to that. That's in the contract that they remain comparable. Why not come to the district, sit down, and say, we're going to have a change in this. We want to negotiate it.
Would you prefer that we not be comparable?
I'm not saying anything. I'm saying that's
right,
a negotiable item.
You have com-
I don't. I'm not going to negotiate it from the board table. I'm just saying it ought to be negotiated.
The last comment I have is, I think maybe there isn't clarity in terms of what we're asking. We want to know what the E2 is, not because we're against it. We're against Edison. We don't want you to change. We want to know what is going on in a school in our district, charter or not. And so just to step back, we as a board have the right to know and have the responsibility right. to the public to be able to say, oh, they're instituting this new program. It looks like it could be great, but we can't go to the community and say, oh, they're now an E2, and the community goes, well, what is that? Well, we don't know. We have 5 different presentations. We're not quite sure which model was implemented.
So when you want to know, and that's the point of my presentations as I'm coming to you with more, I'm sort of hearing conflicting requests coming from the board. I'm hearing that you've asked me to come forward and you have a need to know, and that's absolutely correct. I couldn't agree with you more. And that's why I started coming to the board to make sure that this board was kept up to date so you would know exactly what the changes were being made.
Therein lies the problem. Every time Edison comes before the board, it's a different presentation. We don't have anything concrete to say, okay, this is what they're doing. Yes, this is a contract change. No, it's not a contract change. Yes, we think this needs legal opinion, because it's constantly shifting. And other areas that are being brought up, like salary, facilities, curriculum, is because on the surface, that says to us, those are contract changes.
Just ask clarification. When you're saying that she's made presentations, are you talking about last
Edison.
Week and this one?
Or are I'm you talking about Edison.
I know, I understand. But
she's
presentations that they've made. But is there other presentations that they've made other than last
yes.
week
all
and
the way
here?
Back through September.
To this board?
No.
They did a PowerPoint presentation to the superintendent that
yeah.
you
but
have.
Not to
right.
the board, to this board.
But
not
it was passed
board.
On to us, Steve.
Yes.
Yeah, it was passed on as a draft, sure.
Here.
Right. No. Okay. Just last week was the first attempt to show some of the major things that we were looking at, or two
Other
weeks
than
ago.
Now, what we've had is when Edison came and talked to the super, made a presentation to the superintendent,
right.
of which we were copied on and some of the information
right.
that they were provided at that time. That happened
which
in September, October.
If, yeah, if you want to
so
bring
that
up that presentation as not being official to us, I find it very convenient that what finally came before the board didn't have anything about contract changes where the original presentation.
Well, there are two different. There are contract, negotiated contract, which you're right, and that's where you get into some of those things when you go through your 5-year contract renewals. And then you have design changes. And I was only coming before the board with the design changes that we have implemented for 9 years on an ongoing basis to address the needs of our students. And that was it. And I've only done it once. And then I just wanted to address some concerns here that had been stated last time.
Before we go on further, at the last meeting, Mr. Spence wasn't here, and there was a request that we seek some additional guidance from our attorneys. Is that something that you continue to want to move forward with?
I would like just a written opinion.
I heard what you said tonight right. already about that. Is that something that you're asking that we continue, that we get that now before the 27th?
I would say I'm willing to get it now.
And you would want that too, Jessica, the same
yes.
thing? And where are you on that? No, Mike?
I don't think it matters if we got an opinion, because I'm not sure, based on what I heard, that, for example, if the opinion came back and said that we didn't need to negotiate this, that board members would accept it. So I don't think at this point it warrants the extra cost for that.
Right, and I agree. So right now,
that's what I hear.
That. We may not say that we won't go forward with it after the 27th and get some more clarifications. And I think you've got a gist of what it is that we're wanting as far as going forward with. And
in all honesty, I thought we were going to hear the presentation
well,
this evening.
Well, you know, and I.
No, that's okay.
Partially
so
my problem, because I did make a commitment on behalf of this board that I would bring it back at this meeting. I got a call shortly after that, and Denise had asked to bring it forward on the 27th. But so sort of a negotiation, I said, look, I made a commitment to the board to bring back this weekend, so could you bring back and come back with at least something tonight with an understanding to come back further on the 27th? With
the following day when I called John Chubb about the questions and different things, and I said, what is the timeline? The board would like to know more specific information. And he gave me the timeline of when the work streams were going to be nailing it down for summer, fall. He was going to be going out to Dayton to take a look at that, which are some of the beta sites. And I said, how about the 27th? Because it would be a good idea to get this information. And he said, no problem. So that's when I called Steve and said, how about the 27th? And would you like, I can ask John if he's available.
That's up to you.
Okay.
It's up to you and his schedule.
Yeah, of course.
And I wanted to be honest with you, Denise. I was prepared to ask for a legal opinion if it looked like mm-hmm. it was going to be contract issues. So
Right. That's a different story. This is talking about, you know, what are negotiable issues at this point in time, not separate from negotiating for a renewal of the contract.
And I can...
Wait a minute. Say it again.
The way I understand it, there's two issues here. There's a question of whether or not there have been variations from the original Edison School design as presented to us in 1999 versus mm-hmm. what has happened over the last decade or last...
9 years.
9 years or so. And whether those changes and the changes that you're contemplating here need to come to us to be negotiated with us as a variation in the existing contract. That's an opinion as one of the opinions. Hang on, let me finish. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things. And then the other item is those issues that would be then characterized as part of the negotiation for the extension of the contract for 5 more years.
Right. When I heard things like special ed, SDC, all of those types of things
salaries,
that tend to
wages.
Be, again, salaries and wages are typically, those are under the discretion of ed, yeah. But there are different things, buyback costs, just the logistics of managing the site and the relationship
We've
with the district.
All learned over a decade of time after this mm-hmm. finally completes as to where are we and what have we learned and what are some of the changes that the business department would like to see, mm-hmm. what we'd like to see educationally, things like that, where, you know, things where we agree.
Mr. Cox, if I could, I'd still like to hear what Mrs. Polis said, would have had to say. I didn't, she started two or three times.
This isn't what I was going to say, but I do think it's significant when you're looking at a completely different design. We approved E1, and I know that you said it's been evolving over the 9 years, but they're calling this the way it looks in the first presentation that you did not give us, but it was passed on to us. It looks like it's a different design. But it does concern me that we continue to push it forward so far where, for some reason, if we did need a legal opinion and then it needed to be negotiated and go to an arbitrator, I don't want to do a disservice to the students in our district by having it so far down the line that you're not going to be able to start, if it's decided you're going to implement in a timely manner. So I'm a little disappointed that we can't resolve it tonight, and I realize that you didn't have... that Edison didn't have their decks in a row.
That's my fault. Well, Ms. Rizik, as a clarification, you refer to E1 in the original contract. There is no E1 per se. It's referred to as the Edison School design.
Right. But they are saying the E2 is it's the next generation. Right.
So we had the original Edison School design as was presented to us and implemented.
That has continued to evolve. Only three schools are going to be E2 schools, so not all of the schools.
No, actually all schools will be E2 eventually. What they're doing
you're going to be a model school. So next year, only three schools have been selected to be E2 schools. So their design, E2 is going to look... This is my understanding. I may be wrong. E2 is going to look different than E1 because you are going to be a beta side, a testing side. They've used different words throughout the different presentations.
Sure.
So it looks like a different program.
May I respond to that, Mr. Cox, just briefly? It will change. What you have in front of you was a nationwide marketing packet, which I explained 2 weeks ago. And what they have found as they've gone through and selected their beta sites is that not every single site is going to be implementing every single element that they're just brainstorming as they're looking and researching. And it may come like California schools, there may be specific design elements. So in a conversation when I expressed this to John Chubb, and he said, no, we're not blowing up the schools and making them a brand new, we're not messing with the success. We're going to infuse some supplemental programs to the already existing design. So I think on the 27th, it will be so much more clarity when you can say, here's a schedule, or this what you know it might look like. This is how the instruction goes on. Here's the piece here. Here's what we're looking at. And you may find that there, in fact, is very little difference in some of the things that we're doing.
And that's what, in the last two times you've been here, it doesn't sound like there's going to be much change at all. And no, I look forward to hearing the final product.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Next item on the agenda is the request, item 13, the request to authorize the back bid and services bid for the reimbursement of the, refurbishment of the field and track at West Covina High School. George, you asked that this item.
Yes, I just want, for a matter of the record, my understanding is that this is going out to bid, but you have further research to go whether the coaches or other input that this may become, if this is not what would be a viable playing surface, that you'll come back with some other suggestions.
We had an initial
Mr. Cox, could you have board members address their questions to me, and then I'll call the staff?
Sorry. I'm very sorry. Mrs. Lise Castillo.
We are, as you said correctly, that we are looking at all those aspects, but we need to do the piggyback, and the motion here is so that we can move to get the information that you're talking about, Mr. Fuller.
So there could be coming back.
We could come back with more information depending on what we get through this bid process. So this is just authorizing us to take the next step.
Is there some particular reason why we have to do this at this point in time?
We have to do this because in order to do a piggyback bid, there's a timeline that requires us to either go with the companies that have been selected or not. And we have what we're recommending to the board is that we do that. And in order to do that, you'd have to, within the next, couple meetings, make this decision so that we can bring you the information that Mr. Fuller is requesting.
So I guess my question to you, George, is what do you mean by going out to bid per se? And what are you looking for specifically in?
I'm just clarifying for the record my understanding that this will go out to bid, but that further research.
What will go out to bid?
No, it's a piggyback bid. It says
the piggyback bid.
Yeah, but piggyback when someone else is doing the bid.
That were part of somebody else's bid. Yeah. So there's no other.
I'm asking for the record. That's what I mean. But there would be a possibility. Is that right, Mrs. Lace Castillo? That if this was not found to be a viable playing surface?
Through this process, we will have additional information. We don't expect that to happen, but through the process, we may come back to the board with additional information.
That's it? That answers my question.
What bid is this that we're piggybacking on? Who's the bid for? Through the Department of General Services?
Yes, through the state.
The California Multiple Awards scheduled through the Department
of General Services. Right, but what are they bidding for? Are they bidding on a field? Is that what they're doing?
My understanding, and Mr. Frutos, you correct me if I'm wrong, there are certain companies that bid at the state level so that they can become one of two people that school districts can piggyback on and not open it in general for bids. Okay. And so they have done that successfully, so what we'd like to do is piggyback
on. In doing that, what is the purpose of doing that in general?
Well, A, they've already met a lot of the bidding, criteria, and B, it expedites our process.
What about pricing?
And pricing is, I'm sure the state, because of the number of, they only choose two companies, that it would be very competitive.
What is the status of the city's alleged $500,000 participation in this project?
The city has put aside that money. Mr. Frutos has been in contact with them almost weekly. We have not brought to the board any recommendation yet in terms of negotiating terms with them for that money, because we believe at this point in time that would be premature. We do feel that we have the money now. And by the way, congratulations to Mr. Frutos. He got another $100,000 grant for this particular purpose. And what that does is it allows us to move forward with or without the city. And that's the track and the field. It does not include the bleachers. So if we were able to do this without the city, we would go back to the city perhaps to do some of the other things that is needed, like the bleachers or something else. So at this point in time, we're reserving that opportunity to negotiate, and the city understands where we are in that process.
Can I add something? in the city and school district meetings, they really want, before they that $500,000 is given to us, the access issues worked out. They feel that the community needs to have access when they put in that money, and that they've been working with Mr. Fructose on the access issues also. So that was another concern.
And the direction to Mr. Fructose is not to engage the city on access at this point in time.
Is there a motion on this item?
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
It's been moved and moved by Mike Spence, seconded by Cammie Polis. Are there any objections to this item? Hearing none, the motion is so ordered. Next item on the agenda is the consulting services for benefits and insurance. Will you briefly give us a background on what it is that and why we're making this sort of change?
Yes.
Or recommending this change? Mm-hmm.
The district several years ago did this and basically put the district in a position where we had selected our health insurance providers. After reviewing all of the latest information on health care providers, it was decided with the work of both Mr. Fructose and Dr. Adias on a committee with our representative bargaining units that we should, for the sake of improving what these benefits could offer us, is to go back out for bids and go back out and look at opening that up. We have a consultant that basically has been selected to do this work for us, and she has met with Mr. Fructose and the committee, and the committee feels very strongly that this is in the benefit of employees of the district and encourages us to move it forward.
Questions? Is there a motion, please?
I'll move it.
Been moved by Cammie Polis and seconded by George Fullerton.
Right.
Are there any objections to this item? Hearing none, the motion is ordered. With that, any other items for board members for discussion this evening? Dates to remember, the 19th is President's Day and the district office will be closed, and the 27th is our next board meeting. And with that, the meeting is adjourned.
Are they telling you about difficulty with access?